As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements that support mood and sleep: L-tryptophan, 5-HTP, GABA, and L-theanine. This collection provides essential amino acids and a serotonin precursor that support relaxation, restful sleep, and the regulation of mood and sleep-wake cycles, and are available in various potencies tailored to your specific needs. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements created for healthcare practitioners. Their formulations are based on the latest advances in nutritional science. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, we're going to do a deep dive on the mitochondria. We're going to focus on the importance of free radical modifications of membranes. Membranes is really the key to this in cellular aging that result in loss of mitochondrial function that can produce disease states or subjective fatigue, that rundown feeling, have a direct bearing on aging. Because after all, one of the nine pillars of aging is mitochondrial aging, the deterioration of the function of the very wellspring of life, the energy powerhouses in our cells, which are mitochondria. With me today is John Casey. He's co-founder and CEO of Nutritional Therapeutics, makers of NT Factor. And NT Factor is one of my favorite go-to supplements for supportive energy and for supportive debilitated patients, but also for prevention. I take it personally on a daily basis. So welcome, John. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. You've been a frequent contributor here.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hoffman, and thank you for the invitation.
So it's my pleasure. So let us go back in time to when I was in college. Back in Columbia College, I took a biology course. And in those days, we tended to look at the cell as kind of a baggie. We thought of the cell as like you know, something with a bunch of little structures within it, the nucleus and the mitochondria and various other structures within it, but that it was enclosed in kind of a baggie. And the baggie, you know, had some pores or some holes in it so things could go in and out. And then along came a guy named Garth Nicholson, who's been a frequent guest on this program. He co-authored a stupendous landmark paper, and I just looked it up, 1972, which revolutionized our understanding of the cell membrane. So no longer could we talk about cell walls like in plants. Plants have kind of hard cellulose cell walls. Animals and even bacteria have membranes that are different. So, you know, perhaps you can talk to us a little bit about what the fluid mosaic model means for our understanding of how a nutritional supplement can have an impact on our performance.
His the 1972 paper by Singer Nicholson, they were both at UC San Diego, is still the seminal paper today in the definition of the bilayer of cell membranes. And as you had mentioned, what you referred to as a baggie was there's a viewpoint that there was a layer of proteins around the membrane rather than what it is thought of as today. And much work has been done, you know, to that. But the basic fluid mosaic model, fluid means that there's, let me back up and talk about this from what we do. We provide a blend of fossil lipids, and a fossil lipid is something like a choline or ethanolamine head, which is hydrophilic, meaning that it can, you know, exist next to a watery environment, which would be the bloodstream or the inside of the cell. And then it has attached to that is a glycerol backbone and fatty acids. And the fluidity refers to the exact fatty acids that allow proteins to move around inside the membrane. The membrane exists in two layers, and the fatty acids face each other, and they heads, the polar heads, face either the inside of the mitochondria or the inside of the cell, and the outside, and the cell, the cytosol, and the plasma, etc. And so proteins move around, so this membrane should be fluid and allow these proteins to do what they do. It's really easiest to refer to this as the fabric of the cell membrane, because today we know that there's lipid rafts, which are little tightly packed concentrations of lipids that provide a specific function, and carbohydrates and proteins that move around throughout it or are stagnant. And so the fluid mosaic model means that this exists in such a way to allow this all to happen, such as the proteins that produce ATP, adenosine triphosphate. There are a series of five proteins that must physically move to each other and then back again in order to produce adenosine triphosphate, which is the energy that allows you to move your fingers, blink your eyes, talk, etc., and which is the very currency of life. And the membrane allows that to happen, and in fact controls how much of that you can or cannot produce.
So it's important, John, to remind people that the cell itself has an outer membrane, which allows for excretion of waste products going out, but also intake of nutrients, but also signaling, so that, say, you know, insulin working on a liver cell, insulin will dock on the surface of the outside of the cell in the liver, and then it will send a signal, and there'll be a cascade, and then things will happen within this complex membrane, and then eventually some factors will be released within the cell to trigger various reactions to signal to the mitochondria and the nucleus, like, do something here. And also, you know, potentially to be a way of transporting sugar in. But also it's important to mention that the mitochondria, which are these little powerhouses within the cells, they have a membrane too. And with aging or with disease, what happens to these membranes, and how can that affect our function?
Well, there's a lot of, they're called organelles, mitochondria, the nucleus, ribosomes. They're called organelles, and there's a number of them that have these bilayer membranes. Some of them are very damaged. Some of them are not, like the nucleus, which has very little activity. Relative to your everyday life, it doesn't get much damage. There's not a lot of there. The mitochondria, on the other hand, where you produce energy, antioxidants, and have DNA in the mitochondria as well, there's a great deal of activity. And that activity produces free radicals, the most potent free radicals that people see. And this is where most of the free radicals that damage our lives come from, not from outside, not from bad water, etc. I mean, not that that's good. But the free radicals that are destructive to our life and destructive to the cell membranes, destructive to the mitochondrial membranes, they change the shape and they decrease the function, are produced by our cells as a byproduct of energy, not unlike exhaust when we're running a gasoline engine. And so what we're looking at is the membrane. Basically, as we age, it starts to lose function, starts to lose shape. And what NT factor lipids does, what NT factor does, is to restore that, such that you restore the function, the shape, the integrity, to levels that are normal for half a lifetime earlier. For example, in a clinical trial, one of many that we've done, we show that adults who had an average age of 70 would restore their mitochondrial function to levels normal for healthy 20 to 30-year-olds. That allows people to they're not going to start running track, but they're going to have the energy, potentially, of what they had younger. And that will improve their lives dramatically because loss of energy is a major function of aging. And in doing so, the cell is, the membrane is repaired in such a manner that you reduce the free radicals, you increase the endogenous free radicals, that's the free radicals that you produce yourself, glutathione, catalase, etc., and you minimize the damage being done by free radicals that you naturally produce. You can't stop them completely, but you can minimize them, and they do have functions. They do have positive functions in the body if they're kept at a minimum.
I wonder if this analogy is a little bit simplistic, is appropriate, but one of the things that they try to sell me when I go to the bike store is a type of sealant, and it's available for cars too. So you have a flat tire, you can spray this into your tire, and it acts as a sealant from inside. I'm sure that it's much more complex in biological systems because that's a mechanical analogy, but is it not to some extent true that supplying these phospholipids can in effect help leaky cell membranes optimize their efficiency? You know, obviously not in,
that's one of that's one of the prime functions that NT-factor lipids, membrane lipid replacement, is the science of it, that it does. I think a better analogy would be to look at a wiffle ball, with the kind we used to see when we were kids, where they had holes in them, and they, you know, they you'd hit them with a plastic bat. If you look at the wiffle balls, that's kind of looking at a, at a cell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of like looking at a cell. And as you age, it actually gets holes in it. Not so much holes. Well, holes is a proper description. But you have lipids. You have lipids that are in the cell membranes and in the mitochondrial membranes that die. They oxidize and die. But they're not being moved out and replaced. That's a part of aging. And what membrane lipid replacement does, that's what the membrane lipid replacement means. We push out the lipids that are oxidized and dying and replace them with fresh, young, healthy phospholipids. And so in doing so, we restore the ability of the membrane to produce gradients. And gradients are the most important thing for
electrical
the membranes,
gradients.
The cell membrane.
Electrical gradients.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So that material can move in and out of the cell. Where we measure stuff is the inner membrane of the mitochondria. And the gradient there is called the membrane potential, and it's potential for energy and other things, but it's electrical. And that is a rate-limiting factor for how much energy a person can produce. So in our case, we restore that to levels for a much more youthful time in your life. And in doing so, you're able to have the level of energy that you had at that time. So if you walk and exercise, you're going to get a lot more out of it. But either way, you have the energy there. And so you're able to function better. And that is what causes the fatigue, we believe, to go away. Mm-hmm. Fatigue is the most common problem for people, as they report to their doctors with every condition. Fatigue is the most often thing mentioned. And that people complain about. And so we have looked at and studied many conditions. We've done 15 clinical trials. So we've looked at, in addition to the aging and the fatigue complaints, we've looked at cancer-related quality of life issues with people on active chemotherapy treatments, cisplatin and other things.
Which we know, by the way, is very damaging to normal cells. I mean, the benefit is that it kills the cancer cells. The detriment is that it's very hard to get a laser-like effect just precisely on the cancer cells without damaging adjacent normal cells. And that's why people who undertake radiation and chemo experience tremendous fatigue, and they have like a lot of you know, other problems, because it's not perfect. There's off-target effects.
Well, I kind of look at it as sort of like a fire. I mean, it's trying to burn, you know, one cell, burn it up, and cause it to die. But it has effect to the cell next door, and then et cetera. And we in the cancer trial that we did, it was supervised at UCLA. The IRB was done, you know, at UCLA, and they managed it. And we conducted it at about 12 different cancer centers around the country, contributed patients. And our patients, it was a double-blind crossover trial. The patients who started on the NT-Factor product maintained a quality of life until they switched to placebo. They maintained a quality of life, which was relatively, I don't want to say normal, but it was good in the statistics that we had. But the most impressive was that the people who started on placebo and then crossed over to the NT-Factor product halfway through the trial, they ended up with a quality of life that was better than when they started. So when they started on day one, measurements were taken, day 30, day 60. And so when they stopped taking the placebo, which I think was at 8 weeks, and they crossed over to the NT-Factor product, they had a better quality of life at the end of that 16 weeks than they had on day one before they started the trial. And that's what was most impressive. And these people were all actively treated with their chemotherapy regimens. And they were colon, pancreatic, cancers like that.
For me, that's very impressive. That's a go-to whenever I see patients. And look, and it's actually kind of a big deal to treat patients with cancer undergoing conventional therapy, because you don't want to get in the way of the conventional therapy. So there are actually some things that can get in the way, because some of the medications that are used for cancer, their efficacy is reduced by taking certain antioxidants, certain B vitamins. You can't just pull everything off the shelf and say, you know, I'll just maximize my nutritional input. So you have to be selective. And I give things for immune support so that they don't experience declines in their white blood cell count, making it impossible for them to continue treatment. I give them other things. But I always recommend NT Factor, because I've seen it really help to support energy and reduce and minimize side effects. I just wanted to ask you.
So there is one funny thing. Sure, there is one funny thing that happened during the trial. So as all the doctors, you know, debated the trial, et cetera, in the IRB, the oncologists were worried about this having some antioxidants, which it does. Having some antioxidants, and that was, you know, and so they wanted us to not give it to the patient on the day of therapy. Chemotherapy, if you haven't had it, it works so that you take it one day, you're off of it till your cells, till your immune system cells reach a nadir, which is a low point.
Yep.
And then they come back up, and then they administer the chemotherapy again. So it's sort of a timing thing that the doctor has to do with every single patient, and it varies a little bit, but that's basically the scheme. And so on the day of treatment, they didn't want to give us, you know, they didn't want us to give the product because of the antioxidants. And my thought was, it was like trying to pour
Propax. Oh, okay, so Propax is
This is Propax with NT Factor.
So that's the one. That's the kind of the all-in-one product that has a multiple a multivitamin and fish oil, and along with NT Factor. Is that correct? That's the Propax one-stop shop supplement for nutritional support.
It's a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
Multivitamin with NT factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, what
so
about
that's how that, so that's vitamin if, and mineral formula.
But if you had undertaken the clinical trial with just NT factor powder or the lozenges, I think it's called patented energy, mm-hmm. without the vitamins in it, I don't think it would have been as controversial, right?
I don't know the answer to that question. And I don't think it was controversial as much as it was, this was just these guys' opinions. Everybody has opinions
principle.
When you go through this.
Cautionary principle, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just the way these things go. The worst IRB we had to go through was the animal trials, the preclinicals. Mm-hmm. They were the worst with, you know, objections and so forth, the concerns.
Yeah.
And but it's just part of the process. I mean, these are all very good people doing what they believe is right. And so I just thought it was like throwing a bucket of water on a burning wheel. That was right. just my thought.
What was the surprising outcome, though? I think you were leading up to, and I interrupted you.
Well, what I found most noteworthy, Dr. Hoffman, was that the patients who started on placebo and then crossed over to Propax down the road, Propax and NT factor, and we measured their quality of life with a tool that was published in medical journals to be, you know, adequate for this purpose of defining cancer-related fatigue. And so we had their quality of life measurements on day one, self-reported, it was a survey tool that we used. And on the last day of their, trial, they filled out, all this information again, and they had a better quality of life on the whole, all the patients looked at together than they did on day one before they started, before they got their chemotherapy, before they got their vitamins. They had a better quality of life. They felt better at that time.
And
our job was quality of life.
That's beyond expectation. That's beyond expectation.
We interfered with it. Yeah.
Because you would imagine that people would say, you would have considered it a win if they would say, I only feel like 20% worse, whereas the group that didn't get that would say, I'm just absolutely beat. It's quite impressive.
We have done clinical trials and small trials, and this is basically to prove safety more than anything else. Let me say that from the get-go. But people who had the cancer-related quality of life, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, obesity, neurodegenerative disease, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, prediabetes, Lyme disease, mycoplasma infection, fertility, anemia, spinal injury, rheumatoid arthritis, Gulf War illness, and issues related to aging, because really we were selling this product for its anti-aging value and its anti-fatigue value. So these were all, they would be cool, references, pilot trials, but they all had statistical significant values for the relief of fatigue. And that's the important point that I'm trying to make, because statistically significant means there were reliable results and that they work for the majority of people. And every one of these trials, regardless of what the people had, their relief of fatigue has statistical significance.
So what do you say, to patients who come back or health professionals who say, if it was really effective, it would be a prescription medication. I mean, there aren't any studies on this. That's what they're often dismissive of nutritional support, because they say, well, there aren't any studies. But you have done, and you're a small company, and it's hard to underwrite these expensive studies. And so thank you for your fidelity to this, because it doesn't come easy. I mean, you could just sort of make
some. It has gotten better, and I'll share with you in a minute. Whenever you're ready, I'll share with you how it has gotten better. We're doing three trials right now, three areas of study right now. So in Australia, in Western Australia, the University of Newcastle, we're doing a trial that the government's paying for, which is fantastic because usually it comes out of our pocket.
It's called OPM, Other People's Money.
Well,
I love it.
Well, it's I love it. I think it's so much better. But, you know, it's a certain level of, I don't know, integrity that we've achieved that governments are willing to pay for this.
Well, in other words, it's not self-serving because, you know, frankly, if you underwrite a study, there's always the criticism, you know, there's a conflict of interest. You know, you provided the product or, you know, you guided and shaped the study. And, you know, sometimes that is, you know, a less authoritative result. But when you convince an independent scientist or an independent agency to undertake some research, I think that speaks very highly.
Well, I'm the main person here. I'm the one who finances it all. I do not get involved in the studies to participate with them in any way. I did in the UCLA study because we were learning a lot of new lessons there, and I sort of had to take charge of patient recruitment, and that's how we ended up with clinic cancer groups all over the country providing patients. But here in the United States, we're at the grant stage for a clinical trial we're doing on the West Coast. So we're filing for a grant, and we expect it to be approved. And we're doing that on cognitive function for the most part, using NT factor lipids for cognitive function because they have great use there. We've done small trials that we finance ourselves that looked at cognitive function, and the survey tool that we use in every trial that we did looked at cognitive function. It was part of the questionnaire.
And that would make sense because the brain is a very, very metabolically active organ, and it's rich in mitochondria. And actually, there's recent work on not just neurodegenerative disease like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, you know, conditions like that, but also on mood, you know, even on depression. Diagnoses like obsessive compulsive disorder and so on, schizophrenia, psychiatric diagnoses, suggesting that there may be a mitochondrial component. So, you know, I'm not saying that this is some sort of panacea, but it sure makes sense to support brain energy, which is actually the title of a book by one of our favorite interview guests, Dr. Chris Palmer, who's actually advanced the theory that it's actually these psychiatric disorders are an energetic problem of the brain.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, if people feel better when they have the energy to walk, the energy to make dinner, etc. I mean, energy is a currency of life, period. And it's what allows you to live life. I mean, if you don't, without energy, you're laying in bed all day. And that's not a very exciting thing to do.
Indeed. All right, a good point at which to pause because, as our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. We got a lot of practical questions for you, so get ready.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with my best shots. John Casey, co-founder and CEO of Nutritional Therapeutics, makers of NT Factor, is our guest. And we've got some practical questions about how to use the stuff, what are some of the different products. Our call to action today is you can find the NT Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer or to order direct. Call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. And for those of you who follow me on Fullscript, you can find some of the products there, but I actually would suggest that you go to ntfactor.com for a broader selection of products, or order directly, or pick up your products at a health food store or online retailer, because for one reason or another, the inventory on Fullscript is a little bit limited. Yeah, I think there are a few of your products up there, but it's not the full lineup. So, ntfactor.com is the place to go. All right, stay with us, John Casey. And stay with us, audience. More on the subject of NT Factor in support of mitochondrial energy. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.